Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 255, recorded on May 22nd, 2015. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's just us.
It is just us.
Yeah. Sans Jefe. He's in New Orleans or something.
Nolens. Yeah.
He's the big keynote speaker.
Yeah, he's he's keynoting a few things, right?
I think so. I don't remember which one this is.
Probably talking about his Apple Watch and how cool it is. Did you see that the people who ordered gold Apple Watches, they're finally starting to ship out? I saw this. It was a screenshot of a guy's...
way to be made to feel special.
God, yeah, right? Well, you see the Amex charge... It's two separate charges. Clearly, this person ordered two $16,000 Apple Watches.
Really?
Yeah. Wait a minute. $16,000? That seems absurd. Hang on a second. Am I crazy?
No, that's right. Yeah.
That's what?
Yeah.
$16,000?
Well, is it the $15,000 model plus tax?
Probably.
Yeah.
Is that it? Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, oh, man, that's nuts. Dude. Yeah,
I would assume.
I think you got one. Well, there's a $17,000 one.
There is a $17,000 watch, yes.
Wait. What? I don't understand. So it's the yellow, the 18 karat yellow gold. So the modern buckle is more expensive. I guess there's more gold there
Exactly, because the buckle is gold.
An extra $2,000 for the tiny bit of extra gold in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not offset by the fact that the case is smaller. So yeah, that's cool. Good job, guy. You did it. You bought the most
shouldn't have those been
watch.
Shouldn't those have been the ones that went out very first?
Yeah, you'd think so.
If you're paying that kind of money. Like, shouldn't Tim Cook show up personally to, like, deliver it to your house?
And bow gracefully. and show off the fact that he doesn't even have one of those. That he's a mere peasant in your presence. Yeah.
Well, he has one.
Probably. Also,
I got one of each.
I like the argument of why Tim Cook wears his Apple Watch in the shower, and then you realize that he can just get as many Apple Watches as he wants. Anytime he wants one. So yeah. Anyway, this show is sponsored by Lynda at lynda.com/TIOSS. We'll talk about those guys in a bit. And NatureBox at naturebox.com/TIOSS. And we'll talk about them and their delicious snacks and nom noms, I'm sure.
You and the nom noms.
You haven't had nom noms. You don't understand. They're good.
I got to order up my free samples.
Get it, dude. Yeah. So, going to the list of things that we have to talk about. Apple's working on Find My Watch. They're also working on...
Can I say something about Find My Watch?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the
Find My Phone thing is awesome.
The Find My Phone.
I'm gonna turn my phone off. Sorry.
Yeah, what's going on, dude? Yeah, the Find My Phone from the watch. You're talking about the little slide up, and you hit the little ping button.
Yeah, and it just was so nice. One little ping.
Yeah.
So it doesn't go nuts like Find My iPhone does when you.
Yeah. Although I have to say that I think I don't lose my my phone as often as I used to, and I think that is simply because I don't look at my phone as often. I think I put it down and I kind of leave it there, and it ends up being in less strange of a place than I normally would have left it had I been using it more often. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if we talked about this last time or if I brought this up, because I forget sometimes what I bring up on which shows, but one feature that surprised me that isn't there as an option is the, hey, you left your phone behind feature.
Yeah, it's coming. They're working on it, right? It's the that's part of this thing that we're talking about here.
So oh, it is? Okay, I didn't read that part of the report.
Smart leashing.
Cool.
Call it. So, quote from 9to5Mac, given the Apple Watch's reliance on an iPhone, Apple plans to implement Find My Watch via what's currently known inside the company as smart leashing. So I guess it works both ways. So according to a source, the watch will use its wireless signal to establish its location relative to the phone and will optionally be able to notify a user if your iPhone is accidentally left behind.
Awesome.
That is really cool.
No more prototypes left at bars.
Yeah, exactly. Topical. Very topical. The only thing, when I don't like to run with my phone because it's just dumb to have a giant thing on my arm.
Plus, if you trip, you could poke your eye out.
Could you? Maybe? I guess you'd have to fall in a really strange way. But yeah, I like to leave my phone behind. And I've noticed that the watch does a good job of figuring out that I'm purposely leaving it behind.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't freak out or stop the workout or get confused about what I'm doing and versus what I'm not doing, because it would otherwise use GPS. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I wonder if I'll get a little tap thing every time I run away from my
phone. Again, it's optional. Yeah. I would imagine that's how it is. It's just probably sort of a tap feedback that says, hey, you just left your phone. You know, I just disconnected from your phone. And when you do that too, you get the little red phone icon at the top with the X through it right now.
Yeah. But
that's not going to notify you if you've accidentally, you know, sort of left your phone on a table somewhere and then drove off.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll be a Bluetooth thing. I assume it'll be a Bluetooth thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just be like, if you get out of Bluetooth range, then it's like, hey, did you do this on purpose or?
Right. Cause if you're at a place where there's maybe a large building or a school campus or something like that, and you leave your phone to like go to the bathroom or something like that. Because if it was on Wi-Fi, then it wouldn't notify. If it was Bluetooth, then I think that would work out. So
I think more people are apt to like leave their phone behind somewhere, and that's how they lose their phone, then say, for example, it gets stolen. I bet you if you ran the numbers, you'd find that more iPhones are lost than are stolen.
Yeah. Well, lost and then shortly thereafter stolen.
Well, yeah. Right. But
free
phone. Get the point. It's like if you were aware that you left it behind, you could run back and it's probably not going to end up being stolen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think they're doing activation lock. I don't know. Let me see here. Apple has been working on a feature dubbed Find My Watch. Allow a user to track a watch's location as well as lock or remotely wipe it if it's lost or stolen. So I don't know. I don't think they will be doing activation lock. Necessary it is. I don't think it's really that necessary. It's on your wrist. How is it going to like slip off? I guess if someone yoinks it somehow. But
yeah. It's one of those things. It's like one of those things that they could do. Do they absolutely need to do it? They could have it so that you can't reactivate it. So if you've activated it to a phone, right, you can't reactivate it to another phone without like entering your passcode. I don't know why they wouldn't just enable that. I mean, that seems pretty straightforward to me.
Yeah, I guess. I guess they're also working on third party watch complications. So that'll be nice. Although it'll be interesting to see how they do that, because right now when you choose a complication, you're scrolling through all the complications that are available, and because there aren't that many, it's not a big deal. But once all these different apps start offering complications, you got to wonder how they're gonna implement that interface of selecting the one you want.
Oh God, that could be a nightmare.
Oh. Yeah, akin to the glances.
I would imagine the way to handle that would be through the watch application.
Yeah, yeah.
And being able to toggle on and off complications, just very much in the same way that you would do with, like, today widgets.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, you say, okay, I want access to these apps today widgets. So probably from with even better yet, probably from within the app settings in the Apple Watch app. So you know how you can go in there, and right now within an app, if it has a glance or an app, you toggle the two little buttons, right? Or one or the other. So there'd just be one more on there. Do you want to see the complication for this app?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But I guess that still doesn't solve the problem you were mentioning, though, because what happens is if I turned on every app's complication, and now how do I get through that?
But then that's your problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, then Apple probably would argue, don't turn on so many complications. Are you really going to, like, switch between all of those all the time?
Exactly.
I mean, is it modular? There's only a few faces that even allow more than, what, like about five complications?
Oh, that's crazy. So utility lets you do three.
And there's five on modular.
Modular does... Where the heck? Oh, there it is. I thought it went away. Yeah, so there's five on modular, I think.
I think it is the one with the most...
That is
complications.
Yeah, and I don't like that one. I like the
that's the one I use.
I like utility.
So, yeah, I mean, so if you can only use five complications in any one face, there's really no reason to have more than, you know, a dozen or so complication options, I would think.
Yeah. Let's see. I like this story. The Wall Street Journal has stated that Apple has dropped plans for an Apple branded television set more than a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So according to them, Apple had searched for breakthrough features to justify building an Apple branded television set. Those people said, in addition to an ultra high definition display, Apple considered adding sensor equipped cameras so viewers could make video calls through the set. Ultimately, though, Apple executives didn't consider any of those features compelling enough to enter a highly competitive television market led by Samsung Electronics. Yeah, makes perfect sense. I bought my television in 2007, and it's still here, and I still use it. So I think Apple kind of gets that. I've purchased all of the Apple TVs over the years, so... They probably
Good thing too. I received so many emails this week about people going, I don't have YouTube anymore. Where'd YouTube go?
Yeah.
And they are not happy.
Oh, frickin' YouTube.
I'm not a YouTuber, so I guess I don't get it, but I totally understand. I mean, like, if you're really into YouTube,
I use YouTube all the time.
It really sucks.
It does. Well, I mean, and it's not just for the funny videos. It's also, I mean, I watch lectures on YouTube all the time, and it's terrible. And I'm glad you brought this up, because I'm not really having issues with the Apple TV 2, but that is
it's gone off the Apple TV 2.
So the YouTube app is gone, or it's just you go there and it's completely been removed.
You fire it up now, you will Apple chose to remove it, because otherwise you're just gonna get a broken video.
That makes sense. Yeah. So they're because they updated their APIs because they need to make sure they get all the money they possibly can. And
is that really why? Or they just wanted newer APIs?
Yeah, it's because they needed to update the way they did monetization. That's totally why.
Well,
but in addition to that, as I said, I watch lectures on YouTube, and the YouTube app for iOS is absolute garbage. I hate it for pretty much all the reasons. The user interface of playing a video.
You mean you don't like the auto playing video and you got us like swipe to quit it thing?
The swipe to quit it is so stupid. Why is it still there? I thought they would get rid of that immediately because that's so dumb. How could you possibly want that?
It like minimizes down in the corner.
You have to minimize it and then throw it away. And then, okay, so and the play button, the play pause is in the center for some dumb reason, and it's hard to see sometimes. and the track control sucks, and it doesn't use, I mean, if it used the built-in iOS track control, it would be great, because then you could do the scrubbing, the multi-variable, the, you know what I mean? So you could do like fast or slow scrubbing, and you can't see the clock no matter what. You have to shrink down the video to see what the hell time it is. There's no volume control. It's insane. And it's gotten to the point where I'm trying to scrub through a video, just kind of like, I'm watching a lecture and I want to jump back, I don't know, a minute. So I grab the little slider and I go back and it doesn't respond. Okay, I'll try again. No, it's not. Okay, maybe it's frozen. And then I do it a couple times, and then finally it jumps back. I'm like, okay, cool. But then it starts jumping back and forth. It just keeps doing what I did when it was frozen. And so on two different occasions, for two separate reasons, I deleted the YouTube app first from my phone and then from my iPads, because it forces you to watch it on the app, even if you're in the web browser. So in order to watch it in the browser, which works way better, you have to delete the app entirely. And I've done that. So I'm completely got rid of it. I wanted to use Jasmine, the old YouTube app, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
They removed
it. They got hit by the API thing.
Yeah, they removed it from the store completely. It doesn't work at all. And most of the YouTube apps, the alternate.
Now, they could update for the new APIs, though.
They could, but they put, on a lot of restrictions, too, for YouTube API apps. So Jasmine used to be able to do the, like, a 15-second skip back and forward stuff. They also allowed background playback, which was, again, great for lectures and talks and, you know, whatever. They disallowed that. YouTube did not allow that.
So YouTube's just taking some plays from Google's playbook, from Twitter's playbook.
Yeah,
being assholes. On the API thing, right?
Being giant assholes who don't understand why a product is good and making it terrible, even more terrible. It's awesome. I love it. So
they got to get you watching on YouTube so they can get the ads.
I don't care. I'll watch an ad. I mean, honestly, if someone wants to like partner up and make a dope YouTube client, I'll like help you design it and stuff. But I'm fine with watching ads. I just need the iOS. I want the iOS playback controls. For the love of God, the original YouTube app, iOS 1, iPhone OS 1, was perfect. Again, we're going back to how the hell did we get from iOS 1? Now we're in iOS 8, and shit sucks. It was better. It was better first version.
Because we're in a major land grab. It's the same thing where all these blogs are blocking my ability to use like readability and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't use the little the thing that Safari does, the readability deal. Can't do that. Thanks, 9to5 Mac.
Yep. Well, and I understand. I mean, they in order to survive, they have to have the ad revenue. Mm-hmm. So there has to be some sort of solution. And something like a readability does block their ability to get that revenue. And, you know, so it, I don't know, it's catch 22 because people don't want to pay for stuff. And for content, they want to get it for free, and they also don't want to watch ads or see ads. Or
so I don't mind seeing ads as long as it's not Geico anymore. Because I have it.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to see it anymore. I don't want to see Geico, and I don't want to see Clash of Clans. I think it's like this the same damn ad every time I watch a video.
There needs to be a balance. Though,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. I'm in the same boat as you. I'm okay with the ads. Like Apple, you know, adding YouTube has ads on the Apple TV 3.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Okay, tell me why. Do you know why you can't have the same YouTube app on the Apple TV 2? Why?
I think nobody wanted to go back and rewrite an app for the Apple TV 2 is the only thing I can think of. A lot of people are alleging that Apple wants everybody to have to buy a new Apple TV to watch YouTube.
That doesn't I don't think they would do that because that would mean they're pro Google. I guess it's pro Google with their own and
I mean,
mind,
I really think it's just a timing thing, whereas the app that was written for the Apple TV 3 probably was written with the new... I mean, new you would think APIs. It's the same app, though. I don't know.
You
Are
would,
they different
I,
apps?
I don't know. You would think that they would keep it as similar as possible, but we really... They have not opened the kimono on how they developed the apps for the Apple TV.
The bottom line is if you have an Apple TV 1 or you have an Apple TV 2, your YouTube app got removed. And if you haven't noticed it yet, you're probably going to be angry.
Well, you can probably just jailbreak that sucker and put something better on it to watch YouTube.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But if you want an Apple TV, a native Apple TV with YouTube support, you have to get an Apple TV 3. And what I haven't learned is that do you have to have the newer Apple TV? You know how there's like two Apple TV 3s?
I'm sure it's all the 3s. No. I think you're... are there two 3s? Are they calling it the Apple TV 3? Is that what it's
called?
Yeah,
there's two versions of the Apple TV 3.
Okay.
I have the newer one. But there wasn't like an original. There's like an early one, and then there's like a later one, and they didn't come out that far apart. And there's a thing about the.
I don't think there's any difference.
The earlier one, like, is missing a feature that like mine has.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up in Mac Tracker right now. So.
Okay.
I'll get you the deets.
All right. Yeah, deets me out. Okay, let's talk about something that makes me happy, and it's learning, because it's lynda.com/TIOSS. You get a free 10-day trial of lynda.com where you can go and learn over 3,000 on-demand video courses. That's 3,000 courses and like jillions of videos, so like 3,000 times a buttload, right? Because they have, so each one of these videos, they're bite-sized, they're like 10 minutes long, they're all chapterized, they have transcripts at the bottom that follows along. You can click and find exactly where you want in the transcript. You can search their entire database for a very specific thing. These guys have everything. I mean, they're the one-stop shop for online learning. And it's not just like learning how to use Photoshop. But if you want to do that, they go all out. I mean, I think that they're known for their photography software stuff. So they got Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, all the entire Adobe suite, of course, other stuff like iPhoto, Instagram. Well, it's not hard to use Instagram, but they have, courses not only on software but also on techniques, photography, lighting, doing portraits, learning about cameras and gear. I mean, you can become a full-blown photographer with lynda.com. Stuff like marketing, IT, education and learning. I gotta check this out. A lot of software topics in here, like learning Excel and PowerPoint and Numbers and Keynote, and just like every freaking software package you can think of is in here, in addition to 3D and animation. They have a lot of software development stuff, so not only web development like JavaScript, CSS, HTML, other like Python, all the wonderful scripting languages. You also have real hardcore coding stuff in here. You've got you can learn C++, Objective-C, Swift. They've got Swift courses in there, developing iOS apps, iOS and Mac apps. So basically, if you're sitting there thinking like, hey, I've got a summer ahead of me, I want to learn something awesome, I want to know how to like make my own iPhone app, you want to make your first iPhone app, you want to make a Mac app, all you need is lynda.com. And that's really incredible because they have such a huge collection of videos. So check them out, lynda.com. They're awesome. You get a free 10-day trial when you go to lynda.com/TIOSS. Go there. You have unlimited access to everything with that code for 10 days. Just check it out. You're not going to want to stop. So once you pop, you're not going to want to stop. lynda.com/TIOSS. They're wonderful. They're one of my favorites, all-time favorites. Absolutely, 100% behind them. So check them out. Now, Apple Watch stuff. right?
More Apple Watch stuff?
Dude, tons of it. First update came out. That was exciting. I was looking forward to that. I kind of figured it was going to come pretty soon, and I think it was a Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday this week, iOS, WatchOS rather, 1.0.1. With improvements for Siri, measuring stand activity, which I don't know that I've seen any difference in that at all. Today I was standing and doing things, and it was like, hey, time to stand. So, yeah, okay, I guess I'll sit and then stand.
Were you moving?
Yeah, I probably wasn't. I think I was talking on the phone and I was standing.
The thing about the stand thing is it's mislabeled. You need to move around. It should be like sedentary. You're too sedentary.
You're too lazy. Move around. Calculating calories for indoor cycling. I think you do that, right?
I do.
Yeah, so that'll be better for you. Have you noticed a change?
I haven't done a cycling session since the update because I've been kind of busy. But, sure.
Rowing workouts, too?
I did notice it was off. Like at the gym, it always seemed to be higher than what I would get from the little sensors. You know, you hold the handlebars at the gym.
Yeah.
And it would be slightly off from that. So it'll be curious to see if the two are closer together.
Yeah. Distance and pace during outdoor walk and run workouts. So that's nice. Accessibility, third-party app improvements, so speed, all that kind of stuff. Although some stuff seems to be just as slow as before. I don't know. I don't know if it's any faster. I can't really tell.
Here's the deal is I think they added a stuff that gives it the perception of being faster.
Oh,
I was talking to Dave Hamilton about this.
Okay.
Meaning that I think like apps will fire open a lot more quickly and stuff like that. But like, so I think they're loading more of the data and those things that would, you know, make callbacks to your phone in the background. So it's like, stuff will come up snappier, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the data's there right away. But the fact that you're not waiting for the screen to come on, you're not waiting for something to show up on the screen, makes it feel faster. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you're not getting the little spinning gear.
You're not seeing that as much because it's kind of happening. Like if you do, you know, glances to me feel like they load a lot more quickly, but you notice you'll still have the little spinner up in the upper right-hand corner as you're going through your glances.
Yeah,
but it used to be I'd hit a glance and just even the cached stuff popping up on the screen took a while. Like there was a noticeable lag. And now it seems like stuff that's cached is popping up right away. And then it sort of brings in the data when it can pull the data from the phone.
Yeah, and I think they may be loading the rest of the glances. So once you pull up a glance, I think they load that one in and then try
maybe
pull the other ones.
The next one. Yeah, so they're doing some smarter things like that where, you know, it's not like it's faster, but it's perception of faster, which is just as good. I mean, if you think it's faster, then it's faster.
Yeah, I noticed I know they changed the calendar appointment glance. So instead of saying like 2:00 p.m. podcast, it now just says 2 p.m. So you get a little more room down there. So it's not as truncated. There was something else. I think they're saying that Siri is better.
Siri is definitely better. My biggest problem with Siri right now is I have always used the, you know, Yo Siri thing in the car.
Yeah.
And I always have my iPhone plugged in, so I want to use it through the phone. But the watch keeps picking it up.
Oh, I don't have that problem.
It's really annoying.
Well, you just don't wake your watch.
Yeah, but I have it. Did you turn off the raise to, you know, wake to raise or whatever it's called?
No.
You know, where you... Huh?
No, I don't. I didn't turn that off.
Yeah, so it'll be accidentally on, and I won't realize that's what has happened. And I'm like, why is Siri not picking up on the phone? And then I look over at my watch, and she's over there processing whatever I just said.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it's not so bad because it will actually work. So if I'm like firing up music, you know, because a common one that I'll say is resume music, resume podcast. So it'll go right back into what I was listening before.
Yeah.
And on the watch, if she picks that up, it'll start the episode and bring up the music control glance. all in one fell swoop, which is actually kind of nice.
Oh, huh. I didn't know that. I feel like, so I used to have issues with Siri, and for me, it's, I've solved that by bringing the watch closer to my mouth. Mm-hmm. Simply doing that has pretty much solved any misfire or non-fire of Siri for me.
Yeah, and don't wait for her. That's the other trick that I learned recently.
Yeah, just have the screen turn on, do your thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Say yo Siri, and then go right into what you want it to do. Don't wait for the screen to react or do anything. She'll catch up.
Yeah. Yep. The other thing is, as far as I was thinking about why you don't get voice feedback from Siri on the watch, mm-hmm. I think that's simply a space-saving technique.
Space-saving.
So you don't have the voices on there. You don't have your actual voice library.
But I mean, they're all there because if you turn on,
there's voiceover in there.
Yep, you got full voiceover,
really?
Which would be way more than you know.
No, I don't know that it would be if it's still using the Siri voice.
But a lot of that Siri stuff is just streamed, anyway, right? It's not even loaded on the. On the device, I would assume it's generated on the server.
So if you turn on voiceover, will she then respond to you?
If you do what now?
Speak curtain. What does that mean?
Don't turn that on.
What's that do? Shut up.
Don't. It will black your whole screen, and then you won't know how to get it back on, turned off.
That's not true. Come on.
The screen curtain?
Yeah, what is that?
Screen curtain is if you want to simulate being blind, basically.
Oh, okay. I don't need that.
it makes your display not have anything on it. Actually, some people who are sighted will use that feature to save battery life. So you can run your whole iPhone without the screen on. It's really for blind people because if you're blind, you don't need to have the screen on. So you can get amazing battery life.
Yeah.
Seriously.
3:20 p.m. in one second.
Oh yeah, so she'll read. Awesome. That's funny. I better turn that off because otherwise, every time I check my watch, it might. You'll hear her say that. Wow, I didn't realize it. That's pretty cool.
If you roll through the, if you hit the, I would assume if you hit the digital crown, it will jump through your complications too, right?
3:20 p.m. in 21 seconds. No.
Oh, it should.
68 degrees. Moving 24%.
So do you have to tap?
Yeah.
I would think rolling the digital crown should rotate through that stuff.
Meh, whatever. This will be fun to play with later. So I guess that theory is totally wrong.
Yeah, I think it's more... I always felt it was maybe more a battery sort of thing.
I guess.
You know, you don't have to run the speaker, which is going to use a little bit of juice every time, so...
Maybe a discretion thing.
Yeah, that too.
Apple Watch will be available in Apple retail stores in June, according to Tim Cook. He went to China and was talking to Apple's China employees of Apple's China headquarters.
Yeah, he said, I noticed if you order one up today, it's 4 to 6 weeks is the ship time.
I think I said 3 to 5.
Probably depends on the model. That's
sure.
The space gray one. It was 4 to 6.
Yeah, I was looking at the 38mm, the white. So. Yeah.
So that lines up with that timeline. That seems like June deliveries are pretty set at this point. Like mm-hmm. if you were to buy one now, you could probably get it in June.
Yep. Cool. Who is this? Ming-Chi Kuo. He believes that the demand for the Apple Watch has flattened out and that the 42 millimeter model represents over 80% of the orders. Although
I believe that.
Yeah, that part I believe. He says that he believes they will sell 15 million of them this year versus the 20 to 30 million. So according to him, it's flattened out because it's not as insane as.
But do you realize
15 million of these things.
How many smartwatches were sold last year? That's what we need to look up.
Seven?
Total.
Seven, I think. Smartwatch sales.
2014. I'm going to guess that 15 million is more than all of the smartwatches that were sold last year.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean,
6.8 million smartwatches sold in 2014.
Yeah. So that's almost just shy of three times two. And
that's at an average price of $189.
Yeah.
So what up? Three times the sales for one smartwatch.
For one brand. Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing is I think a lot of people don't know what to make of it yet.
No, yeah.
That they can't see one or that they can't go into a store and buy one is, I think that softens demand. I think naturally, like, people are walking into the Apple store wanting to check it out. And if you hang out in the Apple store, people are like, oh, this is pretty cool. There seems to be a general interest. But then inevitably the question comes up, can I buy one? No, you got to order online.
Yeah.
Right? And then they walk out of the store and then they forget about it until they see their buddies and then they'll be back.
Right. Now, so this is from, let's see here, Quartz. They do a, Slice Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
They saw it was almost 80,000 sales in the first day. There was a spike on the 24th when they started shipping,
mm-hmm.
And they're averaging about 30,000 sales a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a few Apple Watches.
That's a few Apple Watches. I will say though, because I was having my network issues, you know, and I ended up the resolution for people who want to follow along ended up being I had a bad cable modem.
Really? That was it?
Yeah. So I replaced the cable modem. Well, the thing was, Cox came out to test everything and they said the cable modem was fine. So I took their word for it. But then I was looking at getting an 8-band anyway, because I had a 4-band Doxus 3.
Yeah.
I wanted to get an 8-band just for future proofing. So I'm like, forget it. I'm having so many issues now. I might as well just order the new modem. So ordered the new modem, connected it up, and everything has been fine since. But then related to that is I decided, well, I might as well upgrade my AirPort Extreme, too, because I hadn't gotten the new, you know, square tower one yet.
Oh, yeah, the tall one.
So I ordered one of those, and I went into the Apple store to pick it up last night. And I walk in, and I've never experienced this in the Apple store. So there is, like, literally, I think, 8 blue shirt people. And this is, like, one of the busier stores in town, and it's, you know, 5 o'clock, so it's after work or almost 6 o'clock. They're all sitting there by the, and I'm pretty sure it was the Tryon people. They're all sitting there by the watch tables, just like twiddling their thumbs, like just a 6 of them, just like hanging out there, like doo doo doo. The back of the store by the Genius Bar and every other area of the store, jam packed, people asking questions. It was crickets by the Apple Watch tables.
Huh.
And a couple people have told me they've walked into their Apple stores recently. And, you know, it's like one or two people maybe checking out Apple Watches. But there's definitely not crowds around those tables. And you certainly don't have any issues getting try-ons or any of those sorts of things. So, you know, why that is, I don't really know. My guess is a big part of it is when you're going into a retail store, you're going in there because you want to buy something. And I think the word has gotten out that you can't buy an Apple Watch and that, you know, they're delayed until June or July. So, yeah, I think there's waning interest, but I think there's waning interest mostly because people can't buy them. I think once they're in the stores and people can walk in and buy them, I think those numbers will go up a little bit more again. And certainly into the holidays. I mean, it's going to be a hot holiday item as well. So not too worried about it.
Yeah. Other bands. Bands are in the store. So you can walk in and get some bands at certain stores. Yay.
I'm so not excited about uber overpriced bands. I'll be excited when the third party watch bands start showing up in there, when I can get a nice leather band for you know, 30 to 50 bucks instead of.
Yeah, you can get that on Amazon right now. Amazon has a few that I would imagine.
Are they actually shipping though?
Yeah. Yeah, Prime shipping. It's like $25. Let me see here. Wish list. I'll throw this in the show notes. Why not? I'm not sure that the quality is that good. There's a different one. I'll throw it in here when I find it, but the neat thing is
there's a black one from Jet Tech. Yeah, but I mean, are they? Apple hasn't done their certification yet either.
These are not
certified.
These
are janky, like not.
Yeah, they're subpar, not certified, but they're like $20, and you can, with a standard screwdriver, pull the band off that you get and put any other band on. So it's that standard little leather,
right,
deal. So
yeah, I'm gonna definitely want a made for eye. Although I guess it's not really an eye product, so I don't know if they
made for,
it,
made
they
for
gonna
watch.
Call it made for Apple, made for watch.
I don't know, maybe.
But you know what I mean? I'm going to want the certified one that has the right kind of clasp. Because they have to buy the little clasp to get the certifications. They have to buy the little, what's the little nubbin that goes inside that band? They have to get that from
Apple.
Yeah,
the Apple. Nub. Whatever. The bullet. I don't know.
There was a name for it. We probably talked about it the last show, and now I forgot
the slug?
What it's called.
The slug? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I'm such a professional.
Yeah, we're cool. So someone finally tore apart one of those, or at least took photos of the little Apple Watch demos in the retail stores. So it seems like, and this kind of goes along with the reports I've seen on Reddit of alleged Apple retail employees who hang out on Reddit and talk about stuff, the behind the scenes guys. So the people who are on I think it's like the visuals team.
They're not supposed to do that, are they?
No. No, they're not. I don't think that, I mean, it's not like I am Jim Schmidt. I don't think that's their username. I think they right. use a fancy
pseudonym.
Yeah. But so they've pulled this thing apart, the little slabs that have iPads in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty neat. So you see that the Apple Watch comes out, that it's two sections of band, specialized band that sticks into that thing. And there's a lightning connector on the other side. And this kind of goes along with what one of the guys was saying, is that it slides into the standard, the little part, the little band adapter on the watch. And it has a lightning connector on the other side. Simple as that. And that's in the diagnostic port.
And that little secret port.
The secret port, yeah.
How come I was surprised you didn't lead with your thing.
Oh, that I found the video of the guys who showed how to pull the door
yes.
off? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the...
We know how to open the port now.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just get a little a sewing needle and just... they said it's like a pole vault.
Yeah, you just kind of like hinge up on it.
Yeah,
you
hinge
know,
up
like,
on it and pops off.
And it pops out.
And then you can put it right back.
Yeah.
And then you do whatever you need to do. Whatever that is.
Yeah. Oh, and so those things are called lugs.
There you go. I said slug. I was close.
Lugs. Yeah, you got to get the lugs from Apple
in
order to be certified. So I'm assuming the bands that are showing up right now don't have official lugs on them.
Yeah. Yeah, so the little demo thingies are, they seem to be standard Apple Watches, although it's not confirmed. I would imagine it is. Based on, again, a guy on Reddit, I will put that asterisk there. But he says that they slide this fancy thing on and there's some sort of button that you press that I assume moves the door out of the way. And then the lightning connection is made. So. And again, I think it's kind of strange. Do you think it's strange that Apple did not mention the diagnostic port in their band specifications? They only said don't block the magnetic charger.
Like they
just made no mention. They didn't even say don't do it.
Don't use it.
You would think that at the very least they would say don't modify the door or don't modify anything beyond this point.
Well, I mean, with how that thing opens up, I mean, you have to apply like force, leveraged force to open it up. So it's not like you could just make a band that would, you know, click into it.
Well, based on this, the demo thing, I think there's a special mechanism in these that kind of pops it out of the way. And
where would it put the little piece of metal, the door that pops off?
I'm not a mechanical engineer yet. I don't know how it works. I think it's
how
magic.
Would it slide it back into place?
I don't know. Questions I don't know the answer to.
There's not a lot of space in there. I think no.
Okay. No, I mean, I think it pulls it off and moves it to the side. I don't think it like slides it into the body of the watch. But let's not dive too deep on that. I'll
moves
throw
it to the side where, Michael?
Magic.
Yeah, exactly.
Magic. So, let's talk about our second sponsor. That's NatureBox. NatureBox.com/TIOSS. You get a free box of snacks. You just go to that URL, naturebox.com/TIOSS, type in your information, and then in a couple of days, you'll get a free box of snacks. I did that. They sent me like free snacks in addition to this, but then I was like, give me the free box. Show me what that's like. And I did it. And it was that simple. It's really cool. So NatureBox, they're a company, an online company that provides delicious, wholesome, real ingredient-ed snacks for people who enjoy snacking. And I bet you enjoy snacking because, you know, you're a person who, like, you get hungry sometimes and you don't want to eat a whole meal. You just want to grab something tasty. And I like to think of the stuff that comes from NatureBox as the kind of thing that your grandma would make, because it's not full of preservatives and artificial colors or high fructose corn syrup or hydrogenated oils or any of that stuff. So it's all the good stuff. Some of it's sweet, some of it's savory. You got, you know, a lot of different types of nuts. There's like jalapeno cashews. Those are really good. They have a lot of really good stuff. Let me pull up my list of, delicious NatureBox snacks. So we got the, dark chocolate pretzel pop, some cashew power clusters, toasted cheddar sticks. Those are really good. Blueberry almonds. They have a lot of different, assortments of flavored nuts. That are really fun. The new stuff that they have, mini Belgian waffles, that I gotta get some of those. Those sound really good. Strawberry lemonade fruit stars, sweet and salty nut medley, and of course, you got the nom noms. You got your blueberry nom noms, you got your peanut butter nom noms, and you got your, I think they're chocolate nom noms. I know I sent you guys a link, a picture to show that I'm not the only one who's crazy about nom noms.
Hey, they sound delicious.
They're good. They're like soft baked, oatmeal, based little nuggets of joy. And you can get them from NatureBox. So naturebox.com/TIOSS, and you get a free box of snacks. And if you continue on with them, it's inexpensive. And, it's pretty much in line with what you would get from the store if you bought, because these are like big bags that you get five big bags of whatever snacks you choose, and they're totally in line with buying a similar bag of snacks from the store, except they're higher quality and they're delivered right to your door and you don't have to worry about it, and they have awesome assortments. So check them out. They're great. I love them. naturebox.com/TIOSS. So where are we now? iOS 9. We're talking about that. It's getting exciting. We're moving up to WWDC. I think it's how many days? We got like 17 days to WWDC.
Getting close.
Yeah. I got my countdown going for WWDC. They're thinking about, looks like they're going to do the new San Francisco font in iOS 9 and OS 10 10.11. And that's the font that was introduced with the Apple Watch. It was designed by Apple in-house for readability, and so they're going to get rid of that ultra-thin Helvetica crap.
You don't like that?
I mean, I'm not one of those guys who's against Helvetica on a like philosophical level, but I want something that's legible. You know what I mean? So I like that they designed San Francisco around legibility. So,
cool. Yeah.
I'm all for that. And what else do they got in here? So I think that's the big thing on this story as far as iOS 9. They're also going to, it seems like they're going to have a home app for controlling HomeKit accessories. So it would be centered upon doing wirelessly discovering and setting up compatible HomeKit devices, creating a virtual representation of rooms in the home to easily organize and connect your HomeKit devices, utilizing the Apple TV as a hub connecting all those and offering a series of screens to help users find new HomeKit devices and apps, of course. So that'll be nice. I think we weren't sure if that was going to happen, although, we've been waiting since last year for anything with HomeKit. Oh,
don't get me going on HomeKit. I talked with Victor Kayao about this on my podcast. I really feel like Apple blew it with the whole HomeKit thing because they announced it WWDC a year ago. Everybody was very excited. Then there was no products, no support for it. But then you kind of got another bump back in January when a bunch of companies are like, yeah, we're totally going to support HomeKit. And here we are. We still have nothing from HomeKit.
Well, maybe they're
going to do another announcement.
They're waiting to make it awesome. They wanted to make sure it was good.
Well, why don't they make it awesome and then announce it?
Yeah. Maybe they thought it was awesome and they realized not so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're also working on, it seems like we're going to get some transit routing in Maps. Finally. Again, we had that in iPhone. No, we didn't have that in iOS 1, did we? Did we? I don't think so.
It was whenever Google... It was actually even after Google added it to Google Maps, on the website.
I think it might have been like iPhone OS 3.
I don't remember.
I think it might have been 3. But, oh, it was so good. It made me so happy. I loved that app. But it seems like they're finally going to add that in Apple style. And they're also going to... It looks like they're working on indoor mapping. So that'll allow users to navigate major buildings, offices, landmarks. And I guess they've been using autonomous robots with iBeacon sensors to collect indoor mapping data starting at their offices in Cupertino. Surprisingly enough, they're mapping the secret headquarters.
Oh.
Probably not like Johnny's playroom. I was probably off limits to the robots.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Johnny knows where stuff is. So, yeah. And there's speculation that the van, that secret Apple van, has something to do with the mapping. I would love to see Street View from Apple.
I think that's coming.
That's got to be there. So there's the Street View and the transit directions are the two awesome things that Google does with Google Maps. And otherwise, I prefer Apple Maps.
Yeah, I just noticed Google now has a 3D thing that is like a really bad version. Well, I guess they've had it for a while, but I hadn't looked at it for a while. They have the 3D stuff like the flyover, but it's really bad.
Oh, yeah.
In a lot of areas. Like, you think Apple's looks chunky and blocky and weird. Theirs is even worse.
Oh, I should mention, now that I'm looking at the time, because someone from Apple is supposed to call me at like 3:30. I told him like he was going to call me at 4, but I'm like, earlier is fine. I forgot I had a podcast. But so on my band, my Apple Watch band, I'm getting some weird discoloration. I have the black sport band. And so right above the top of my Apple Watch face, mm-hmm. It looks like the glossy coat, the top coat, is like peeling. It's kind of a weird thing, and I thought it was maybe I got some like oil on it or something like that. And
it's on the. Do you have the black sport band?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
And I've seen a lot of other people who have the same thing in a very similar spot. So I sent him pictures, and he said he was going to send it off to the engineers to have them make an assessment as to whether that's like within spec or they need to send me another one or something like that. So
I had the stuck digital crown.
I did too. Issue. Mine went away. Mine's cool now.
Yeah, me too. It was weird though.
So I think it's just one of those things you just like chill and it'll
weird
go
how it got stuck though too, because it would only get stuck when it was left sort of sitting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it would just be the first time I go to move it like wouldn't move at all. Like it's really jammed. And then if I would sort of force the issue, it would become unstuck and it would be fine. It would be unstuck for a while. And then I'd, be off doing something, come back to it. And then suddenly it would be stuck again. It was almost feeling like it was getting stuck from non-use or non-spinning. Yeah,
because you're like dipping your hands in honey.
I don't know. But then it went away and it hasn't been an issue since. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Apple's still working on split screen multitasking, as I'm sure we talked about the same time last year. Because I think that, so according to 9 to 5 Mac, they reported last year that we were going to see this. We also saw in beta versions of iOS 8 when someone hacked it to make the simulator actually do this. So this has been in iOS for a while. They've been clearly working on split screen multitasking for a while. So for one half, one third, and two thirds of screen. So for both separate applications, so one app and the other on the screen at the same time, so you can drag between. But also for the same app, two views of the same app, so you can have like two different pages documents up at the same time. It seems like this is going to be in all of the iPads, or at least the full screen iPads, or full size rather, iPad Airs. But it seems like maybe we'll get some even more advanced features with the iPad Pro if that ever materializes. But I think again from 9 to 5 Mac, they've confirmed jumbo sized iPads with J98 and J99 code names. There's that. iOS 10.11. Oh, this is interesting. Rootless.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about this? So the it's kind of more interesting for OS 10 than it is for iOS, it seems to me, because so the way they're trying to improve security in iOS and OS 10. And they're doing that with a new kernel feature called Rootless. Apple is now building a core version of iOS 9 that runs if... Oh, so that's differently. That's they're talking about. They would... iOS 9 would run efficiently on the older A5 devices, which is nice. So A5, like iPhone 4S, would still work. They're also going to be transitioning sync processes for... Notes, I believe, to iCloud Drive instead of IMAP. So that should be better. But the rootless will be a feature of the kernel that will protect certain features of the OS. So it will be more heavily implemented on iOS, I would imagine. But it's kind of what we already have, right? You have to jailbreak. The thing of jailbreaking is you have to break the security that's already on the device.
Right.
It'll prohibit users from accessing certain protected files on Mac and iOS devices. Appears to be a permanent feature of iOS, but can be disabled allegedly on OS 10. So, I mean, I think you kind of have to do that. Otherwise you kind of ruin things for developers, especially because, I mean, to set up a development platform on OS 10, a lot of times you have to, especially for web development or any sort of things like that, other than just the Xcode, you have to start getting deep, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I can't imagine they would disable that permanently. If they did, you just wouldn't have people updating, you know? Yeah. Simple as that. Some of those things just have to be modified. You have to be able to jump in there. I mean, granted, I don't think people modify the kernel, but getting the protected files, you got to be able to do that. So Apple Pay, there are 35 more participating issuers in the United States. So go check it out. If you are looking for Apple Pay, still haven't gotten it on your credit card, go check it out. See Apple's website to see if your bank is there. And they've introduced a new iPhone dock after like 3 years. They have an iPhone dock again.
I'm confused on this one.
it's kind of weird. It's just a slab with a lightning connector that popped out, and there's no cradle for it.
Yeah, it seems like that would put a lot of pressure, especially if you had like a big 6 Plus like I do, on the little lightning connector.
Yeah, or if you want to be adventurous and plug it into the into your iPad.
Mm. Oh, God. Yeah, I wouldn't advise doing that. don't think it's designed for that, is it?
No, but you can do it.
Or is it? I mean, is it a universal dock, or is it being marketed as a iPhone dock?
iPhone Lightning dock is what it's called.
It specifically says iPhone in it.
It does have, say
yeah,
iPhone.
So do not connect your iPad to it.
Compatibility with the iPhone 5, 5C, 5S, 6, and 6 Plus. So I assume that they have strengthened it so that the torques involved on those various devices is,
and it's got this weird little nub.
Yeah, it's got a little weird nub. I assume that's maybe maybe it's to let sound come through, like the microphone. I bet that's to raise it up for the microphone.
It is.
Well, yeah.
I thought maybe it was for like, oh yeah, because the cases don't go around. It's not like the, well, I wondered if it was for like if you have the leather case on the iPhone 5 or 5S, you know, because that goes all the way up around the port.
Yeah, I think it's for a number of things like that. And there's also, again, you get the little line out jack on the back. But it does not
That's
come with
cool.
It doesn't come with a cable. You got to plug in the lightning cable in the back. So it's just a little pass through deal, but you know what? For people who like that, I might end up getting one of those. I don't know.
$3. About
it. I want a good Apple Watch stand.
I just got one.
Spigeon?
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Because by all accounts,
$20 for sure.
By all accounts, it's made out of cheap crap, and it's a generic. Just they slapped a label on it.
It is aluminum. It's metal.
Does your cable routing? Does it work? Does that thing work, or does it kind of suck?
It just kind of goes through the hole, you know, through the little hole.
But isn't it supposed to route down the base and out the back?
No, it kind of routes. There's a little hole on the side. So the styling's very much iMac-like. You know how the iMac has like that little hole in the back of the stand that you run the cables through?
Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah.
On an iMac?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. So that could be better. It also could be a little bit heavier. But it looks nice, and it's only $20. So I jumped in on one just because I hadn't seen another one that looked, I thought, as good and had that good of a price. So I figured for $20, what could I lose?
I want the Nomad case. That looks nice.
The Nomad watch stand?
Yeah, have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, that is nice.
Oh, yeah, that one looks nice. Yeah, but again, it's $60.
You
could buy three.
But it's heavy and it looks really nice.
You could buy three Spigen stands for that same price.
It has a lot of
metal. You could put them all over the house. Although you have to buy two more pucks from Apple, and that'll cost you.
Ew, pretty penny right there. You get their pucks. Yeah, I like that.
How's the cable routing on that one? Does it go?
It's better. It goes through a magic passageway.
Are you sure?
Not sure, but
looking at the picture on 9to5 Mac, and they just got the cable like running out the back.
Yeah, or along the side.
No, down, I mean, it's like not even going. I can see the cable just sticking straight out the top.
Well,
back.
They did it dumbly then, because it's not how it's designed.
Okay, good.
So, yeah.
You
see the pictures?
Oh, it comes out the back at the bottom. I see it. There's a little channel.
There you go. Yeah, there's a channel.
Just the angle of the picture.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes sense. So, did you see the trailer for the new Steve Jobs movie?
Yeah,
it looks good.
I mean, yeah, I'm being tentative about it. I'm excited about it, but
I'm not super.
I mean, at the same time, it's like it's a bunch of quotes from Steve Jobs. How can you really screw that up?
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
It's him standing on. It's like the is it. It's sort of the back of him standing on, like, they don't show a lot of clips. It's like,
no, it's
him getting
teaser.
Ready to give his keynote, you know, so it's sort of shot of him from behind looking out at the audience, or I don't even remember if there's an audience there or not.
No.
Yet. And they're just saying a bunch of quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, you can't go wrong with that. It seems like, okay, so
it's a good trailer, but it doesn't make me like go, oh, it's going to be an awesome movie or it's not going to be an awesome movie. I don't know if I can judge the movie. I will judge the trailer and say, yes, it's a good trailer.
Yeah, it seems like they're headed down the right path. As far as the actor who's playing Steve Jobs, he doesn't look terribly like Steve Jobs.
Well, I don't think Seth Rogen looks like Woz either.
Yeah, but let him have it. It's fine. Danny Boyle.
I don't think you need that. It's more about the performance. Yes. So you got to do a little suspension of disbelief sort of thing on.
Yeah. Definitely. Who is writing it? Sorkin?
Yes.
Yeah. So he knows what's up. I think he was palsy with.
It's based on the Isaacson material, which was the stuff authorized by Steve. So, I mean, it should be. It's going to be accurate. Is it going to be good? I don't know.
I think it'll be better than the freaking Kuchar crap that I couldn't watch.
Really?
I couldn't watch that.
I like it.
Okay. Maybe I should.
I don't like it. I enjoyed it. I can let it be what it is. I guess it's
I think I'll wait for this movie to come out. I'll watch that, and then I'll watch the Kuchar, and then I'll see.
Yeah, and then they're gonna do a movie on the other book, and then that'll be the one that Apple will endorse.
What? No, that's not true, is it? You're screwing with me.
I'm making that up. No, but I mean, I'm still. Did you read
that Apple is not behind this one?
Well, certainly, I would imagine that Johnny and Tim aren't.
Well, probably
because they hate the Isaacson book.
Oh, they do? What? Yeah. What? Why would they hate the Isaacson book?
They said it's not representative of who Steve was.
I don't know. I felt the Isaacson book was, it seemed right.
Well, yeah, because the information came directly from Steve.
So it was perfectly controlled.
It was like, what, 40 interviews with Steve Jobs, right?
Yeah.
Direct interviews and his recollections of these things.
Oh, so even though they were like friends with the guy and loved him, they're like, no, this guy was he likes well, they to don't, paint
they,
a picture.
They don't like some of the, you know, they don't like some of the ways that Steve is portrayed. You know, which is funny because
like too positive
thing is mostly just factual information.
Is it too positive, they think, or too negative?
Too negative.
Oh, well, then it's probably accurate. Because he was kind of an asshole. And that's why we love him.
They say that's not the Steve they knew.
Well,
so
and that's inaccurate. I'm sure that's very true.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, this is all perspective, though.
Yeah.
Right? The thing is the Isaacson one, I know a lot of people who don't like the Isaacson one because it's just frankly dull. And it is to a certain degree because, again, it's very matter of fact and factual in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of storytelling going on, which I don't think there should be a whole lot of storytelling going on in a biography. So I haven't gotten through, I was trying to remember, is it Becoming Steve Jobs? What's the name of the new one?
The I Justine book?
No. the one that just came out that Apple is fully behind and the current management at Apple is fully behind and endorsing.
I'm not aware of that one.
Oh man, I'll find it for you. I bought it. I just haven't started reading it yet. So I'll bring it up in iBooks as we move on. We don't have to get hung up on this.
Okay. Well, that's it. That's all we have to talk about. So if I type Steve Jobs into this thing, it should find me what I'm looking for, right? Becoming Steve Jobs.
It is Becoming Steve Jobs. Okay, I have the title right. Yeah. So this is the one that
did they endorse? So why didn't they just put that out for free? As propaganda. Like Apple propaganda.
I don't know. But this is the one that they say is representative of Steve and Apple. I think some of it too is that, you know, some of the things in that Steve did reflect, you know, sort of badly on Apple's management culture, and I think
there are a lot of things that Steve did that definitely don't like wouldn't sit well for current management,
right?
Of a giant core company.
Well, and I think what they think this other book does is it shows how Steve changed and matured sort of later in life in a lot of those areas.
Yeah,
and
certainly
they don't feel
the
like the Isaacson book hits on that side of things. So I don't know. Like I said, I haven't read this book yet, but you know, apparently they're very down on the early years. And
boo, those are the most interesting. Come on. I like that.
Yeah.
Like the earlier years. God,
why can I never remember?
I don't know. So what are we going to do, picks now?
Revolution in the Valley author.
I don't have any. I don't have a pick.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do? All right.
Yeah. Hopefully we didn't. I don't think you picked this one yet. Has anybody picked Letterpad?
No, I don't think so. What's that?
Okay, so Letterpad is from the guys over at Nimblebit, which they make great games. They did all the Tiny Tower and all of those, and Pocket Frogs, and a bunch of other great games. This is one of their newer ones, although they just came out with a brand new one, I think, called Capitals. But this is a little word game, and I'm partly picking it because they do have a Apple Watch version, and it actually is pretty playable because the basics of the game is you have a 3x3 grid of letters, and then you have a hint. And there's like 232 like levels or hints. I don't know if you call them levels or hints or something like that. So like I'm currently on 36 of 232, and the category is Mars, okay? Hmm. And then I have a grid, a 6x6 grid of titles, letters. So I have E, V, D, R, K, T, R, C, O. Right. And those are my letters. And then up at the top, I have four words that I have to make from those letters to be able to clear this level.
So probably like curiosity is one.
There's no U, though.
Oh, OK.
So and you would think it would be like super easy. Like on this one, the one that popped up to me
Mars.
Right away was Rover, R-O-V-E-R. Right. And it will show you little dots. So I know that one of the words that I have to get is 1, 2, 3 is six letters.
You got,
and then there was one
Phobos?
Five letter one. It's what?
Phobos, P-H-O-B-O-S.
There's no P.
Deimos, D-E-I-M-O-S.
No I.
That is hard.
Yeah, and so it seems like it should be so simple and incredibly easy, and it's so frustrating sometimes because you'll be like, I was just doing a level the category was park, and there was a three-letter word, and I couldn't even get the three-letter word. It's just like, ah! And you sometimes have to think outside the box, and so sometimes they come right to you, sometimes they don't. But that's kind of what makes this game awesome is, and why I think it's really appropriate for having an Apple Watch version, because you don't have to, I mean, yeah, you want to try and get through as many levels as you can, but it's also the kind of thing where I just got a couple minutes to kill, I'll just pop it open and try and find a word and then put it away. And so you can do that with the watch. You know, if you're sitting there in line and you're like, you know, I've been stuck on that level, you can pop it open and just work on one of the words that you're trying to figure out. And just do it for a couple seconds. And if you don't get it, then you just quit and move on. So I think it's a good game for having like an Apple Watch version, because you can do a quick interaction, just try and get one word and then stop.
Do you remember that in one of the last episodes of 30 Rock, there was a game called Homonym?
I don't watch 30 Rock, so no.
It was hilarious. It was like, because you were talking about, you said park, and I'm like, okay, well, is it like the verb park or the noun
park?
Well,
see, and that's just the thing. A lot of times the clues will be something
like
that.
They're vague like that. So it's like, okay, so they're talking about, so the game is called Homonym, and the guy's like, oh, it's park. And they're like, oh, like the place where you bring your kids. No, it's the other one. You got it wrong. And it, and then so at some point the guy's playing it for like 20 minutes. And finally it's like, it's always the other one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So they'll have clues like that. So where even in some cases, like the clue will be part of, you know, it'll be like a compound word that they're trying to get you to guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
So,
all right. So it's free.
It is not. I don't think it's
free.
I want to say it's like two. Is it free?
It's free. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Even better.
Yeah. Check it out. And so
I may
have
picked it up because it may have gone free since they have had Capitals, or has it always been free?
I'll grab it. I should grab that. Just, yeah. Yeah. It's always been free.
Cool.
My pick this week is Sky Guide. It's $2, and it's full of stars. It's
ooh, that's good. I'm actually going out to the desert Sunday to go stargazing. We're going to a star party.
Yeah, this thing's perfect. So it's just like there have been other apps where you you know, point your phone up to the sky and it'll tell you what the stars are. The only thing about it is the interface is a bit hidden. So I know with the other app, you could tweak it to say, oh, well, I don't have that many stars in my local sky. So you have to like drag a slider that changes how much, like how many stars you see. So the hint for that is two fingers slide down and that'll reduce number of stars. And then otherwise it's really nice. It's actually really cool because you can apply filters. How do you do this? There's a little guide in there, but so you can say, oh, I want to see visual, or I want to see, like X-ray or gamma ray or different versions of the sky. And then you end up seeing totally different views of the sky. And oh yeah. Yeah. So you press and hold and then you get a little loop and then it gives you the X-ray and then you can change the actual, the filter to something else to here. What do you got? You got gamma ray, ultraviolet, visible, hydrogen, alpha, infrared, microwave, and radio. So you get that little, yeah, radio would probably show you a lot of interesting stuff. And then you can enlarge that loop and then you can see, a bunch of really cool stuff. So I guess this would be really old. The radio stuff would be, or no, microwave? I don't remember. I'm sure someone's yelling at their phone right now because I'm totally screwing this up. Yeah, microwave is what you want. Yeah, do that, and then you get really old stuff, old sky. But yeah, it's just chock full of features. And so the reason I'm bringing it up, and I should say for your stargazing, there's also a red mode.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so you can turn that on and...
Does everybody be really, really angry at me?
Yeah, so you turn on night vision and everything gets a red hue, and then you can go out, check out the stars, and not screw up your vision for looking up at the sky. So that's awesome. And my favorite feature, the reason I got this is because they have an Apple Watch app that is totally, totally useful. It's not gimmicky at all. It's exactly what you would want out of a Apple Watch companion app for this app, which is, it just tells you, here's a calendar of all the interesting stuff in the sky around you. So it says, hey, Saturday, 1:15 a.m., ISS is going to be overhead. And it tells you all the ISS spottings, when the full moon, new moon, solstice, Venus, and Jupiter are going to be aligned, I think, something like that. Or maybe they'll just rise in the sky. You just tap on it and it'll tell you. Yeah, those will be together in the sky. You can check that out. Full moon, new horizon. So celestial, interesting things of interest. And one of the things I like about the ISS ones is so you tap on the ISS sighting, it'll tell you where you can see it, the time, and all that stuff. And it'll also tell you the current crew of the ISS, and you can tap on them and see the profiles. Like Scott Kelly is one of the guys who's going to be up there for an entire year, and you can even send a tweet to him. So you can send a tweet to them only when it's overhead. So I think I haven't done it, but I think it's like, hey, I see you. You're right over me. Wave to me or something like that. I don't know what it says exactly. Maybe you have to dictate it, but it's really neat. I like this app a lot, especially with the Apple Watch companion app. So check it out. Sky Guide. Two words, $2.
Yeah. We're going out to Borrego Springs.
Yeah.
Which is I believe the only International Dark Sky Association location in California.
Oh, cool. So I bet that you can see like the Milky Way and stuff like that.
You can, although this time of year, I'm being told that we can't because we're sort of basically just exactly horizontal with Milky Way, which is horizontal. So
it's like going to be below us or something.
Well, like level, you know, so we'd be looking across a plate, you know, imagine like the Milky Way is a plate and how we're oriented to it right now, I guess it's like you'd be looking across the edge.
Right? Huh. Interesting. I'd have to figure that out. I don't fully get it. I understand like how we're oriented in the solar system, but how the solar system is oriented relative to the arm of the galaxy. It's I'm a little bit.
Yeah. Confusing to me too, but yeah. Basically the synopsis was you're going to have a really hard time seeing the Milky Way this time of year.
Yeah. A couple months ago we were, up above, Santa Barbara. There's that road. You can take 101, but you can also take the road around, you know what I'm talking about south. I forget what that road is, but we were up there, up at the top near some really nice park, and it was very dark, and we just looked up and we could see the Milky Way. It's really cool. So, yeah, Sky Guide, check it out. It's full of fun stuff. Of course, our sponsors this week, lynda.com, lynda.com/TIOSS. You get a free 10-day trial of their awesome learning stuff. And NatureBox, naturebox.com/TIOSS. You get a free box of snacks, and that's pretty cool. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. And Adam Christensen is at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, at Mattcast on Twitter. And is there anything else we should mention?
Just something I just discovered in this game, this letterpad game.
Sure.
Apparently there's the community. There's a section called More Puzzles, and you can create your own puzzles.
Ooh.
And share them with people. And the community also creates puzzles. So there is, because today's like Pac-Man Day, there's a Pac-Man puzzle. And there's also a Star Wars one, and a Minecraft, and a Game of Thrones, and a My Little Pony. And somebody sent me an Apple one.
Ooh, neat. So this is kind of like Quiz Friend, whatever that thing is called. Quiz Up. No, the other one. What's that game you were playing?
Trivia Crack.
There you go, Trivia Crack.
Yeah, but I think this is, I think this is more direct, though. So, like, I could make a little puzzle for you, Michael.
Yeah.
I could do NASA or something and send it to you. Or you could do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a cool feature. So
neat.
Just that. No, nothing else really going on. I guess people can catch me on the Mac show on the British Tech Network if they want. Oh, I know. I'm on Spotify.
Oh, cool. I didn't know they were doing podcasts on Spotify.
Yeah, they just got announced this week. And just select shows are on there right now. And so I was one of the inaugural a group of shows that is on Spotify. So if you're a Spotify subscriber, go into the new, you have to get the new UI. And the way you get the new UI is it's only on the iPhone. They're only rolling out to iPhone app right now. So if you have the iPhone app, go into your settings, and then you should see a little option that says, do you want to use the new UI? You tap that and you will get the new features. Just know that you can't go back. And I think it's kind of in beta. So just be aware of that. There's no take backsies. So once you go forward, you're going to be stuck with the new UI. So if you hate it, tough luck. But once you have the new UI, they have shows. So they've added videos from select partners like Comedy Central and stuff like that. And they've also added podcasts. So you go into the shows category or section and you'll find all the shows there. So
cool.
That's big news.
All right, and I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. I'm on Appler, GETAPPLR.com/Michael. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. A phone. Like, okay, here's how it really should work. The Twitterific app, like when you launch it, it just does a stream of all your tweets, one chalk lock letter at a time.
I approve. I want that app right now.
Right?
Let's get Hockenberry on this right now. I want
it's
that.
Just one big letter one, at a time.
Yeah. Oh,
you gotta
God,
read it.
That is perfect.
And it's just a stream.
Yeah, you can't
since the
stop
last time
it.
You launched the app.
You can't stop it.
Right. Just start streaming letters.
What happens?
At you, and you're like, what's going on? I don't understand. They're all in caps.
So, you get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck. No. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus.